Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to invite you to join us at our next workshop coming up September 28th through the 30th in Pennsylvania in the beautiful Poconos along the Delaware River. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748, or visit gatewaymen.com. Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name's Jonathan, and I'm sitting next to Steven here. And this might be the first day that in a long, long time that our faces might not completely melt off when we go outside because it's been pretty hot lately, right, Steven? But how are you today? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's been a while, it seems.
Yes. Well, our family had taken some time off and took some vacation, and we got spoiled because we went up to the Northwest.
Oh.
And it was, you know, we're talking early part of July, and it wasn't even, it never even got above 80 degrees. And, of course, when you're in Texas, July and August are just brutal and torturous. And anyway, but before we jump in, listeners and viewers, just wanted to make mention, as we do periodically, that we are a listener supported podcast. And so if you want to come alongside and partner with us, we actually have a new way for you to be able to do that. We have become a Patreon. We've got a Patreon account, and so you can become a Patreon subscriber to our podcast, and it's very easy to do. Even for just a couple of bucks, few bucks a month, you can be supporting us, and that just helps us to continue to do what we're doing. Plus, it gives you access to some additional content and other things that we can provide for you as a resource. So just go to the website at puresexradio.com, and at the very top, just click the button that says Become a Patron, and you can come alongside and partner with us. So, Steven, I always love it when you come and you just start throwing papers around, and they've always got some kind of heading and a ton of notes. But I'm excited about this one because I think this is something that is extremely relevant to kind of where the culture is regarding men today, and this issue of boy thinking versus man thinking. And even just understanding how do we make that transition. And so why don't you set us up for where we're going to go and what you want to try to cover.
Well, we were boys, and now we're men. Is that enough setup?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be joining you guys as you attend class with us. It's life class here on life and growth and godliness and goodness and the ideas that set you free. That's what we hope we promote as we get together and talk. I get the opportunity to sit in an office and listen to men, grown men, and sometimes they whine and they don't want to do hard things. And it's just like, okay, what's the difference between boy thinking and man thinking? And can we capture some of that? And can it help, you know, the community of followers that we have? We hope we challenge you to the core, not just entertain you or have cute little sayings or quotes. We want your soul to find rest.
Or some kind of quick fix, like, hey, just do these three things and everything's going to be different. And it's like, we know life is it's a process. It's difficult. So when you put this in front of me and I'm seeing this heading that says boy thinking versus man thinking, my first thought is to put those on a continuum, right?
Oh, yes. It's a
process. You don't just, as much as we would love to be able to say that, hey, you know what, because you are chronologically 21 years old, we're going to go, boom, you've just flipped the switch. You now think like a man. But it's not really like that, is it? You mentioned that you sit in an office and do counseling and hear these stories, and I would bet that you probably have a lot of males in your audience who might be chronologically 50 years old, but their thinking might still be stuck in child thinking, right?
That's it.
And I think we all have to claim some weakness in that area. I mean, I can't say that 100% of all of my thoughts are mature.
I'm glad you're saying that, John. Yeah. That's good, because I can't make that claim either. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and you know, what was my boy thinking? And the first thing that pops into my head is me.
Yeah.
Me. Please me. What can I do to have fun for me? What makes me happy? How do I entertain me? And then, you know, as you go on in life, and get in relationships, and then children, and God, and I don't know if I have this in the right order, but you understand there's these other dimensions to life that's beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been thinking about that. How much of the language of a person discloses the internal program that's the boy program versus, you know, adults sacrifice, you know, men. Man thinking is sort of sacrificial. It's very much in line with God.
And I actually want to bring that point to a head in terms of some of these relational contexts that you just brought up, because I think they are actually what move us and force us to make a choice of, am I going to remain stuck in boy thinking, which I think you're right, is me, right?
Right.
Or am I going to transition? Because think about it. I like to put it this way. I never knew how selfish I was until I got married.
Oh.
And all of a sudden I realized I really do just think about me a lot. Yeah. But now I'm having to recognize, well, how do you accommodate this other person, and how do you begin to...
Isn't that interesting, that whole thought?
And so it magnified my selfishness to be put into that relationship.
Right, to see it, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Decide, am I going to... And you can, you know, I have to confess this too. I think my early part of my marriage was make me happy, what I want to do. You're here for me. You're just like a toy. I'm the adult, you're not. And you're like the puppy that follows me around. He's just happy all the time to see me. Okay, get it? That's your role.
Yeah.
Is that too honest?
No, but then I think it progresses even further. Because when we started having kids, then I realized how angry I was. So it's like...
But well, no, make sense out of that. Okay, did you get angry? Well, where's the anger? How's the angry pop up?
So here's the thing. So like with a spouse, we are peers.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not decades older than my wife.
Right.
And so we have a lot of commonality to our histories and just... the era that we lived in and the generation and these types of things, right? So, but that was, so connecting with her points out just how selfish I am. I still want to make life all about me.
Right.
Bringing kids into the mix brings a whole different kind of chaos. We don't share the same context or generation, right? So
that's
as they're growing and just the chaos of little ones and then the urgency of their demands and all these kind of things, it made me realize how maybe impatient and angry I can be.
And irritable and short and all that, you're saying, right?
So in summary, what I guess I'm trying to say is it's really through the natural order of how God has designed us to operate relationally that I think challenges that boy thinking. Because then we realize, I have to make a decision. Am I going to grow up? Am I going to actually have a different way of thinking about life, thinking about myself, thinking about relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to stay stuck in kind of that small world that essentially says, no, everything must serve me. It's got to be all about me.
So to be transformed, just to go on the journey, right? It's because your wife will change you, the children will change you, life will change you, sickness will change you.
I think to be transformed is to step into those relational components. Even if we step out of the dynamic of marriage and parenting, if you think about it, if we are going to move along the continuum that God has made us for, it must include relationships, right?
Right.
So even for the single people out there, guess what? If you're going to mature in your thinking, it requires relationship. You're going to have to get into relationships.
Well, that's exactly why some people don't want to get married, right? Because single is all about me. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's single doesn't want to get married. That's not what I said. But some people realize there's a cost to it and a price of sacrifice. If I get married, part of me has to die. And then if I have kids, part of me has to die. And just go right down the list, right?
And I think what's maybe sad about that is it's seen that that cost is seen as a negative.
That's
in other
right.
words, they're seeing
well, but from
to
immature
lose
boy,
my independence.
Right, immature thinking, right? If you're fighting the transformation into what God made you to be,
right.
and you're trying to hold back.
And I guess that's true. That's still part of that boy thinking because I guess I just now address that from a more mature thinking, right? Because I'm realizing, wait a second, it does have a cost, but it has a value that far exceeds the cost.
And you don't even know that, right?
You don't know it going in.
And do you want to go back to being single?
Oh, Lord, please no.
See, but being single, you would fight for that thing, and that was the greatest thing, right?
Yeah.
Until you know the principle of oneness and bonding and connecting and the value of being in a relationship.
And the joy of giving away good things with no
That's
expectation
it.
In return. There's a joy in that.
So joy comes out. Okay, so let's go into these comments that men make. And the reason we're saying is because this is boy thinking, you know? And I don't know. I'll just try them out and you respond to them. Yeah. You know, it's so hard to change. It's hard. It's hard work to change. I can start pretty good. You know, and there's this joke, I can do anything one time in a row. That's how disciplined I am. I can do it one time in a row that I'm good at.
Oh, that's good.
But change is hard, but I can start. But I cannot be consistent.
Mm-hmm. You know how, and maybe the way I'll respond to these is what I've learned or even seen in other men of how you then transition, what that transition looks like. Because as soon as I see that word, I can't be consistent. Well, guess what? I'd raise my hand and say, me neither.
Yeah.
The change, though, I think that goes from boy thinking to man thinking, or maybe what we might call immature thinking to mature thinking, is the idea of realizing it's not, maturity is not necessarily about consistency. I mean, you mentioned all these other variables that we can't control. You can't control your spouse. You can't control your health. You can't control all these things that are outside of your control. If it's about consistency, we're going to be perpetually angry, disappointed, all these kind of things. So what I've tried to do is flip that word to be persistent. So regardless of whether anything is consistent in my life, can I persist? Can I be persevere?
But that means you have a target that you're going somewhere persistently.
It's more of the idea of, yes, I'm moving through whatever the circumstance is with persistence, with faithfulness, with, you know, grit, so to speak. Kind of like I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to, because if you're aiming for consistency, you're likely to just throw in the towel.
Right.
I don't want to do this anymore because it's not consistent.
Well, I did for a week, and I haven't done it for a week, so I don't want to do it again because
right,
I'm not consistent. So, zero.
But if you shift your goal and you say, "Wait, this isn't about the circumstance looking a particular way. It's about building character, and that's going to require endurance."
Okay,
and persistence.
Okay, but I'm going to do the boy part here. But it's not fun. Okay,
well, that's
it's
true,
not fun to do this. Persistent, I don't even like the word, persistent, disciplined, every day. That's not fun.
Right. Well, that's part of shifting your goal, is if your goal in life is simply to have fun, you will have small character.
Mm.
And so you have to make a decision on what do I want? Do I want to have small character that is only going to like magnify my immaturity as I get older? Or do I want to maybe make a shift that says, I need to have a different goal than immediate pleasure?
But what if I don't like it? What if I try it and I don't like it?
Yeah, it's a value shift. Think about it this way. If you went to your doctor and your doctor said, hey, guess what? We just found a cancerous tumor in your body. Now, here's the treatment. So we got the diagnosis. Here's the treatment that needs to happen. Are you about to engage something that you like? No. But do you have the desire to live? Probably. So you might go through and do some painful things because your values have shifted. You've recognized that, you know what? Living is more valuable than me ignoring something that's, you know, hurting me. So if you begin to see that...
But you're so serious. What if I just don't get anything out of it? I don't like it, and I don't get anything out of it.
What are you trying to get out of it?
I don't... The thing you're talking about, be persistent, discipline. What if I do it, and I don't get anything out of it?
Again, what are you looking to get out of it? If you...
I want to stay the same. Why do I have to change? Well, I don't like the word maturity, grow up. Everybody says grow up, mature.
Well, hey, just so you know, nobody's forcing you to become mature. You can be a little boy the rest of your life if you want, Stephen. So,
but I'm not good at staying and being persistent and grinding out every day. It's so mundane. And to be good, to be mature every day, I have to grind it out of... And then I don't get anything out of it, and it's no fun, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and again, everybody has their own choice to make. I'm not going to sit here and ever try to force somebody to mature. That's on you. That's your decision. So if you decide that you're not getting anything out of it, you want to stay the same, you are okay with just being a pleasure seeker, then stop wasting my time and go live your small life.
Okay. I can do some things a few times, okay? Like Bible reading. After I go to summer camp and I make my promise, I'm going to do this. I come home for a few days, maybe a week, I read, and then it's hard. And I don't like it, and I don't get anything out of it. And so then I drop off, and it's like, I'm good a few times. Does that count?
I think every good gift that we offer is not revoked. So the thing is, I think that's a good way to think of it. It's, are we looking to live our lives as an offering to God, or are we looking to... connect with God like a vending machine. Like, man, if I put some coins in, why aren't you giving me what I want?
Mm.
And so I do think we are talking about a fundamental paradigm shift. And like it or not, Stephen, it is serious. I mean, it's like eternally serious in terms of what we do.
Well, but I read you should sleep 8 to 10 hours a day. And I like to sleep, and sometimes I take naps.
Okay.
Is that bad? Because I get distracted. I get fuzzy headed.
I look at it
and
this way.
I like to sleep. And
sleep
they say
is good.
Sleep is good.
Necessary. But are you looking to go to sleep to escape reality? Mm. Or are you looking to go to sleep to refresh and replenish your body in order to then engage life? So again, it's all about value choices.
It's just hard. So much damage has been done. You don't know who I am. Life is hard. I don't like me. Nobody likes me. And then you want me to do these things. It's like I have a little crummy life. Why are you doing this to me?
You know what's funny, Stephen? So when I came into work today, I really didn't expect to be like with my children today.
Coaching a boy.
It's like I didn't expect to be with my kids at work today, but...
But I get so tired. It's hard. I get tired. Don't you know? Don't you get tired?
Oh, sure. I'm thinking of our listeners right now, and they're probably going, oh, this is driving me nuts. They're probably turning us off.
I'm not good at this. You know, I'm not good at anything. I'm no good.
Okay, so let's tackle that for just a second in terms of that thinking. So if I imagine my 16-year-old boy coming to me and saying, hey, I'm no good at this. Fill in the blank with whatever it is.
Right. Discipline.
And then his solution is to complain about it, yet he wants to be good at it. We have to have a conversation about saying, well, how do you think you get good at anything? Do you think you get good at something by complaining about it and then going and sitting down and taking a nap? Work is required to become skilled at something.
So mature and grown up. I like to do easy things. The TV is right there. My phone is right there. I have a little computer. I can play with my computer screen. And there's so much stuff to have. You notice how, why can't I just do the easy things?
Well, you know, this is what I find interesting. I hear this a lot with my Christian friends, where when they will make these outlandish, unreasonable connections between their lack of pursuit of God and then their expectation of mighty, powerful movements in their life from God. In other words, they'll be like, listen, I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I don't really pay any attention to God. I don't honor him. I don't really, I mean, I like to wear the label Christian so that it kind of, you know, gets me into the, you know, the social environment in the church or whatever. And then they turn around and go, well, why aren't amazing things happening in my life? Why is there not a powerful move of God in my life? And again, not thinking of it like a vending machine, but we're really fooling ourselves if we think that we can say, I don't want to show any honor to how God has set up life and then have all this expectation that there should be massive blessings or a great move of God on my behalf. You know what I mean? So
just show up and expect him to move, but not work the program.
And don't misunderstand
being a servant.
I'm not diminishing the reality of grace. So don't misread what I'm saying in terms of thinking of like, listen, God only works in your life in proportion to how hard you work. Well, good grief. Then we're not getting much, because even the Bible says our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before him. So I'm not making it a one-to-one, you know, equation here, but
I know what I want, and why can't I just have what I want and do what I want and be happy?
So my question, my response to that would be, aren't you already doing what you want? Why aren't you happy?
Oh, well, I'm well rested, and I don't stress myself, because you know that
but
stress
wait a second.
Is dangerous.
Let's follow this along, because we do get that response a lot of times from people like, why can't I just do what I want and be happy?
Yeah.
And my thinking is, well, you're kind of already just doing whatever you want,
and you're not.
So why aren't you happy?
Yeah.
What is wrong with the equation of just serving me and doing everything that I want and realizing that that doesn't bring about the satisfaction that you thought it would?
So I've noticed this thing about myself. I can change pretty good when there's a crisis, but I can't do it very long.
Right.
But when there's a crisis, I can come online and I can talk good and I can promise and I know the way to go, but when nobody's looking, it gets hard.
And I think the thing about that is that's not true character developing. What that is that's playing a part to get back to status quo. So like, listen, I can step up and I can perform for the season that's required in order to get things back to where, again, it can start to become all about me again and I can relax. And so that's not really character development. That's just... Let's try to get things back to.
And sometimes I battle myself because I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape and lift weights. I want to take a class. I want to practice on the piano or voice lessons or karate. But I battle myself. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get there, to stay there, to go back there.
Well, you know what? The Bible tells us about ourselves in that regard when it says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm.
I think all of us have desires to be better at certain things, but when push comes to shove and it's the moment of decision, we all go, I think I would like to just eat that Twinkie, you know, whatever it might be.
Or the box.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's just part of it. And that kind of loops back around to the very first thing where the guy was saying, I can't be consistent. What if we embrace the idea that maturing simply isn't a consistent journey? I mean, maybe just start there and go, it's not going to look like if I make a decision today to do something positive, it's going to be a permanent upward trajectory from that moment forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fits and starts, and it's going to be, and is it okay if that's what growth looks like?
Yeah.
And for the boy thinker, that would be no. No, that's not okay. I want it to be perfect, and I want it to just be a snap of my fingers.
Or I'll lie to you and say, oh, yes, and then I'll go back to the couch.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
I'm going to get my videos out. So in a relationship, be mindful when someone says, I think you need to grow up or be more mature or quit. That's what you're doing. That's old stuff. That's childish. Pay attention, because that may be indicator of boy sort of behavior that your spouse is pointing out.
Yeah. And I wanted to share a passage here that kind of relates to this. And it's actually a passage that's found right in 1 Corinthians 13, which we often think of as the love chapter, right?
Right.
Where it talks about love never fails and everything. But in that same chapter, the Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about that passage is it's saying, okay, listen, there was a certain way of processing life when I was a child, mm-hmm. certain way to think, a certain way to talk, a certain way to reason and react. But what he says is, when I became a man, I put away childish ways. The thing I think is important to recognize in that is that transition from childish thinking to mature adult thinking is an act of the will, not merely letting time not just letting time pass. And I think sometimes what we've done is we've just said, hey, chronologically, I'm 25, chronologically, I'm however old, and made assumptions about what that means regarding maturity. And like you and I have experienced, you know, in our work, that's not always the case. You've got 40, 50, 60-year-old guys that are very much stuck in that childish thinking. So briefly describe or let our listeners know, what does that look like to engage the will in this process? And why is that important?
What are you thinking? Because I had a thought.
Go ahead. We'll share your thought.
I encourage everybody to practice discipline. I mean, just listening to these podcasts regularly, it's a practice of discipline, getting new ideas, right? Exercising regularly, reading your Bible, you know, pursuing God.
And those are all acts of your will. You've got to choose to do those things, right?
Mm.
I mean, and what I like about that is those are things that you can choose to do even if you don't feel like doing them. And that's the key. I think one of the big keys is, I think boy thinking stays stuck in, let me just go wherever my urges and feelings take me. And man thinking says, you know what, there's a higher good, there's a bigger purpose, there's a better way to live
mm-hmm.
that is based on how I engage my will, not just wherever my feelings are.
That's right,
are
and
going.
I practice discipline, I put myself on a path, I'm going to end up somewhere significant.
Yeah.
If I ramble and want and wish and lay on the couch, I'm going to get somewhere, but I'm probably not going to be happy where I got.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me, as we close out here, I want to plug Stephen's Facebook page, because he has entered the 21st century. And
late to the game, but here.
So he's got a Facebook page where he's starting to share some of his ideas and some articles and stuff. But if you go to Facebook and then you go facebook.com/ Hope Counseling SATX for like San Antonio, Texas. So Hope Counseling SATX. Then you can follow him and get some of those articles and share those. So
good. I'd like to encourage folks, and what I'm thinking, I try to create a little article and encourage people with that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And so, listeners, if you would like more help in just kind of your journey of maturing, please reach out to us. And until next time, we look forward to having you back here on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Have a great week.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.